So last week in Huntersville, a mother called the pastor of her church. "Pastor, my two boys are driving me crazy. And I want you to come over here and put the fear of the Lord in them." The pastor wasn't sure about that fear of the Lord stuff, but he agreed to come on over. So the next morning he went to their house, and the mother brought him in the kitchen and said, "Pastor, this is Jimmy. I'm still looking for Billy, but you can start with him." So the pastor decided he'd use his theological approach. So he said, "Jimmy, have you found Jesus?" Jimmy just stared at him and said nothing. So the pastor said, "Well, maybe he didn't hear me." So he took it up another notch and said, "Jimmy, have you found Jesus?" Jimmy just stared at him, wide-eyed, quiet. So the pastor was getting a little bit irritated now, so his voice got louder. "Jimmy, have you found Jesus?" Well, at that point, Jimmy jumped up, ran out of the room, went up the steps, went into his room, started pulling Billy out from the bed. "Billy, Billy, get up. We got to get out of here. Jesus is missing, and they think we've got him." Well, the state of our world, the state of the world right around each person in this room testified to the fact that in so many lives, Jesus is missing. The abundant life of Jesus is missing. The promise of Jesus of forgiveness of our sins, a new chance to start a new way every day, is missing. The offer of Jesus that we should always know that nothing can separate us from His love. Nothing can ever cause God to disown us as His precious child. The experience of Jesus walking hand in hand, step by step with us every day in our best days and our darkest days. The assurance of Jesus, when we leave this life, we're going to begin a whole new life with Him in heaven forever, is missing. In so many lives, too many lives, Jesus is missing. Today, God gives us the opportunity and the way to move Jesus into those lives who are missing Him. With God's most exciting and our concluding installment of our series, in which we have been opening our eyes and our lives to the power and the presence and the wisdom of God's Spirit. The presence and the power and the wisdom of God living in us. For today is Pentecost. I must tell you that it is my favorite Sunday of the whole year. For this is the day that God's Spirit fills 131 men and women with fire. Fires them up to go out into the world and offer the missing Jesus to all those who so desperately need Him. And their lives and the lives they touch and the world has been changed forever. God, this wants this to happen for you today. For me, for all of us. Perhaps today, after 8 Pentecost Sundays together, will be a personal Pentecost for you. It can happen. Perhaps it will happen today. Now, I urge you, do not dismiss this as some impossible dream that God has for your life. It has happened for some of you. In many ways, it has happened for me. For what I saw and what you shared with me this week about your relationship with Jesus Christ, all of us, so many of us, are just this close to being filled with the life-changing fire of the Spirit of God. Well, today, God offers us this opportunity through the experience of those first people at that first Pentecost. The lead-in started innocently enough. The resurrected Jesus spent 40 days with His disciples and 120 other men and women. And during that time, He reminded them of who He was and what He could do in their lives and in the lives of the world. At the 40th day, Jesus commanded His disciples then and commanded His disciples now, "Go and be My witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, to Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Jesus instructed them, however, "Don't do it yet. Do not go out and be My witnesses to the good news that I offered you, to the abundant and eternal life that's possible through me until you have received the power of God's Spirit. Then Jesus ascended to heaven. For 10 days, the 11 disciples and the 120 other men and women basically stayed together and prayed together. 10 days later was Pentecost, which simply means 50. But in the Jewish faith, this is a big day. This is the second only to Passover, is the most important day of the year for the Jews. For it was the day that they remembered, 50 days after Passover, how all the ways that God had blessed them, and the ways that they could be used by God to bless others. Unknown to them, God was about to bless them in an even more powerful way, in a more permanent way, that would not only change some of them, but would change the world. That morning, 131 were together, Luke reports, praying. And suddenly, they all caught fire. Here's what happened. When the day of Pentecost came, the believers were gathered in one place praying. Suddenly there was a noise like a violent wind from heaven. It filled the whole house where they were sitting. What seemed like tongues of fire spread out and came to rest on each person. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to talk in other languages as the Spirit enabled them to speak. There were Jews living in Jerusalem and religious people visiting from all over the country. When they heard this noise, a large crowd gathered. Some made fun of the believers, saying, "These people are drunk." Peter stood up and with the other 11 apostles and spoke to the crowd. "These people are not drunk. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. Instead, this is what the prophet Joel promised. God says, 'I will pour out my spirit on everyone. Your sons and daughters and servants and men and women will proclaim my message. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will have dreams. Then whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved.'" Listen, Peter says, Jesus was a man whose divine authority was clearly proven by miracles and wonders God performed through him. You know this, for it happened here. "Yet you killed him by letting sinful men crucify him. But God raised him from death, setting him free from his power, because it is impossible that death should hold him prisoner. This Jesus whom you crucified, he is the one that God made Lord and Savior." Those who listened were touched in their hearts, and they asked, "What shall we do?" And Peter answered, "Turn to God, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, so your sins will be forgiven, and you will receive God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit, God's promises to you and to your children, all who are far away, and all whom the Lord calls unto himself." And those who welcomed his message were baptized. About 3,000 people joined with them that day. They spent their time learning from the apostles, taking part in worship, sharing in meals and in prayers, and witnessing miracles and wondrous acts, and giving what they had so all would have what they needed. And they met in the temple in their homes, celebrating, filled with exuberance and with joy, praising God. And people liked what they saw. And the Lord added to their number those who were being saved every day. Wow, these scriptures are filled with such richness and so many promises. Today we're going to focus on three fuels for the fire. God's first fuel for the fire is this: celebrate the blessings of the good news of Jesus, the experience of Jesus as our Lord and our Savior. You see, these 131 men and women prayed for God's Spirit to give them the power to be witnesses for Jesus. But why? Why would they pray for this? They prayed for God's Spirit to come so they could spread the good news, to make disciples of all people. God's Spirit answered their prayer, breathed new life into their lives, and put new fire into their hearts. And they were so excited for the good news, so excited they now had the opportunity and the power to offer the good news to all people, that they could not contain it within themselves. Though those walls they were in could not keep them in. They spilled out on the streets and they were so excited and so celebrating the good news and now the chance to offer it to others that people said, they're drunk. Peter spoke to them all. Jesus was crucified to take away our sins. He was raised from the dead to be the Lord of our lives and the Savior of our souls. This is who Jesus is for you, your children, for the people who are here and for all people. This is great good news. 3,000 people were so infected with their celebration and excitement that they welcomed their message. They were baptized, which means they submitted their lives to Jesus Christ as the Lord of their lives and the Savior of their souls. And God filled their spirit and their lives were changed. They spent their time learning and praying and in fellowship. And in the temple and their homes, the Word says their lives were filled with exuberance and with joy and with praising God. And everybody who saw them liked what they saw. This excitement, exuberance, and joy for the good news. And their celebration, excitement was contagious. And every day, the Lord kept bringing people to add to their numbers. Well, since this is Memorial Day, I want to show you what this looks like when somebody is actually excited about good news. Trevor, if you hit the first slide. This is the day that the announcement came out that World War II was over. These soldiers spilled out of the streets, this I think is in France, with this great sign about peace. Peace is possible. Peace has come. And next. This is back in the States, and you notice that most of these people are women. Because all the men are out fighting the war. And here's the third slide. It got really personal. Now, a lot of people say that this is Bob Romberg. Bob told me that this was not he because he was on a battleship in the Pacific, but he did say, I wish that were me. And lastly, look at this. That's what excitement looks like. That's what happened when people learned the good news that evil had been defeated, that peace had come, that new life was possible. That's what it looks like. People spilling into the streets. They didn't just stay in their homes and say, well, maybe somebody else will get the good news out. They didn't just go to church and say a nice prayer for peace. No, they spilled out because they were so filled with excitement and joy. You see, the good news that World War II was over was certainly worth celebrating. It was exciting. But the good news of Jesus Christ is infinitesimally more exciting, more worth celebrating the end of any war. Yet, I ask us, friends, if we were charged, you and I, with the crime of being so excited about the good news of Jesus Christ in your life that you cannot keep it to yourself, and we're going out and spreading the good news to everybody whose life is missing Jesus, would we be convicted? Would we be convicted of a felony or even a misdemeanor? Or would the verdict be not guilty? Well, I hope that you and I are so filled with excitement about what Jesus Christ offers in our lives that we cannot keep it to ourselves. Well, what I want to tell you is I think everybody that responded to that email is this close to catching fire. I ask you those two questions. And many of you responded, you inspired me and you encouraged me to see we are so close. So this is a summary, Trevor, of 7, which is a perfect number, of course, of what you said. These are the gifts of what it means to give your life to Jesus and what you're so excited about that everyone needs to hear it. Unconditional and ever-present love. Forgiveness. Joy. Peace, presence of Jesus, blessed and a blessing life, eternal life. I want to share with you the particulars of what you said. How I am so encouraged and think we're just this close to getting so excited that we can no longer keep it to ourselves. What's the good news of Jesus? What does it mean for your life? I'm loved unconditionally. I'm forgiven. I am not alone. He leads my every step. A peaceful way of life that is fulfilling and satisfying. I always have His love and support no matter what I'm going through. Life's trials and burdens can be overcome. He responds with grace. He shows me the way through, often in unexpected ways. I have nothing to prove. Hope. There is someone to share my innermost feelings. I will live an eternity with Him and see Him face to face. Assurance, getting better and better. Jesus has my back. Jesus shows me how to live a life that is a blessing. Second question. What is exciting about your experience as a follower that you would like everyone to know? Know the peace and love I feel. I am less concerned about what others think of me. That is empowering. I'm less stressed than ever. I'm forgiven for past bad decisions. I don't have to beat myself up. I can move on. God is faithful. His Spirit transformed me even though I do not understand everything unfolded in my life. I am never alone. I have experienced this many times, this person said. The empty feeling in your heart can be filled by putting Jesus first and following Him. When I act out of love, I experience peace and joy, benefiting more than the person I interacted with. Jesus saved my daughter's life. Now she praises God every day. With Him, I can do anything. I am wiser, kinder, more loving than if I was not a follower. I live at peace with the world with the tools to help make it the way it should be. Jesus shows me how to live a life that is a blessing. This from a youth. Jesus loves me on my best days. Sorry, not a youth. The next one is. When I feel Jesus right beside me. And on my worst days, when I do not think my prayers are getting above the ceiling. I open my heart. This is from a youth. I open my heart to love as He does. He has profoundly changed the ways that I live. I am more joyful than ever. Thankful that Jesus has entered my life to make it so full. Jesus loves me no matter what, even if no one else does. And I will live in heaven with Him forever. Let me ask you folks, I really do want a response to this. Does that sound like good news to you? What do you think? Do you think that is so exciting that everyone ought to hear that good news? What do you think? Well, the question is, why is it not getting out there? Well, what we said is, this is great good news in my life. And when we acknowledge this great good news that we want everyone to hear, then we're ready for God's second fuel for fire, and that is communicate, share our blessings and excitement for the good news of Jesus. You see, Peter begins with the words of Joel at a time of not good news, 400 years before. The people had given in to the secular culture of Greece and they were suffering from the consequences of their sins. Yet Joel called them all together. He said, bring the children and the teenagers and the adults and the old people. Bring them all together. And God will pour out His Spirit on all people. And when they do, they will proclaim God's message and all who cry out to Him will be saved. And now in this day, God gives us the Holy Spirit. To our young, to our old, to women and men, to proclaim God's message of Jesus' good news and the blessings of life with Him. For then, our scripture says, people who cry out to the Lord will be saved. As they did when Peter gave them God's message, they cried out, what shall we do? And 3,000 people received new life and the promise of eternal life. Their lives were filled with love and exuberance and joy and praising God with their words and with their lives. Well, this sounds like a great idea, doesn't it? Proclaiming the good news for all people who are missing Jesus. But right there, it gets a little sticky, doesn't it? That's when we start to say, well, maybe not me, Pastor. Why don't you just do it? I feel uncomfortable doing that. I don't know what I would say. Somebody's going to think I'm judgmental. I'm just not going to share this good news of Jesus. Well, today, I'm going to offer you some simple ways to get through what is holding us back. And we're going to begin with a movie. An excerpt from a movie called Faith Like Potatoes. In this movie, a guy named Angus Buchan is a Scot who is now a farmer in South Africa. And things are not going well. And so Angus is starting to get angry. He's drinking too much. He starts yelling at his wife and his children and the Zulus who are working with him. Until one day, in a church service, the Spirit of God gets hold of him and brings him to receive Jesus in his life. Then he goes to his pastor and says, "Pastor, I've given my life to Jesus, but how can God really come alive for me and come alive in me?" Never come to your pastor and ask that question. Because they're going to do what he did. A pastor gave him some advice. Now, I'm going to tell you, they don't speak English. They speak Scottish English with a South African accent. It's a little quiet and a little dark. So just stick with me, and I'll interpret at the end. So this is Angus with his pastors, how it starts.
I have this urgency in here. I'm feeling in my heart now. I really want to know God. And I want to know why he knows me. And what can I do? Is there something I can do?
That's God's Spirit in you.
Tell you what.
You tell the first three friends you see today what you did. Tell them you gave your life to Jesus. That's a challenge.
Well, that's it.
Just do it. This is a Bible somebody gave me a long, long time ago. I like it.
God's Spirit caught fire and Angus Buchan. So he reluctantly took his pastor's advice. The first friend, three friends he saw, to tell them, "I've given my life to Jesus." Showing how already Jesus was beginning to bless not only his life, but his family and his farm. Well, what happened in response? You can predict. People are going to say, "Are you kidding me? You're not going to go weird on me, are you now?" And then, everybody bites the dust. And that might be the reaction. Somebody may say, "Sally, who are you to be talking about Jesus? I know what your life is like. It's so wonderful and beautiful." Yeah, whatever. You know, you don't know what the reaction is going to be, but Jesus doesn't care. what Jesus cares about, and we have the courage and actually the excitement to say, I've given my life to Jesus, and look what's happening in my life. What happened ultimately is Ruth, his friend, gave his life to Jesus. Reflecting later in this way, I am so thankful for what you did for me that day. I thought it was weird. I thought you were weird. But now I know it's people like me that need what you have. It's people like me that need who you have. I thank God for you, Angus Buchan. Well, what happened to Angus is after that first time, he got confidence. And the fear that has stood in the way of sharing the good news of Jesus left him. And ultimately, he began speaking to crowds of thousands, 23,000 people in the stadium, talking about his journey and the good news of Jesus and talking about how South Africa needed to get Jesus in their lives. For Jesus to drive out the violence and bring peace, to drive out the racism and bring one. See, this week, today, God's Spirit calls us, perhaps to tell the first three friends we meet, and we've given our lives, our families, our work to Jesus. And what a blessing it is for us. What I want to tell you, because I've experienced this now, it's like anything else, it's a challenge. First time we try it, we're reluctant. But after we try it the first time, the fear goes away. The barriers seem to fall away. And we begin to get confidence, and we offer it more and more with more joy and excitement. And what happens eventually is the joy and fulfillment fills our lives, and it becomes who we are and what we are. Here's how simple it could be. In support with the support of the membership growth team, I'm exploring with a group how we can become more effective and faithful messengers for Jesus in the world. And I've had some great conversation with them, and they say, look, Fred, it's not that complicated. There are three ways that we can share the word of Jesus. One is proclamation. That's what you do and Billy Graham does. I really like being lumped in with Billy Graham. I'm sure someday there'll be a library in my honor with a cow at the beginning. The second way is provocation. That's those guys standing on the street corner waving out Bible saying, you are going to hell. Especially on the way to the Panthers game, it feels like you're going to hell some days. He said, your church is not going to do that. Said, well, maybe some. The third way is conversation. Proclamation, provocation, conversation. He said, just have a conversation. And you've got a perfect place to do it. There are three places to do it, they say. One place is where you stay. You might just start in your own house with your own family. In your neighborhood, that's where you stay. Where you work, whether it's your job or your school, or it's where you're serving someone in the community, that's where you work. And where you play. Party you go to. You know, I don't know whether people avoid me at parties now, but when I see somebody at a party, I say, Jim, how's your faith life? I just do that all the time. That's what I do at parties, because I'm tired of the small talk. I want to talk about Jesus. Because I'm a pastor, they give me some slack for that. But at a party, just ask somebody how their life is going, what their faith life is like. And that opens the door. Or there are these interminable swim meets, these interminable baseball games, soccer games. There are all these places where you play on the tennis court. Golf, you got plenty of time. What they say is just have a conversation about what Jesus means in your life. And the Spirit will take it from there. Well, I hope you'll forgive me this morning because I could not pass this example. Because as a young man that I really feel great about, who has discovered this secret. Here he is. So who is that?
Stephon Curry.
And yeah, Stephon Curry. There he is, passing the ball. He's a great passer and he's a great shooter. But the greatest thing about Stephon Curry's life is this. Davidson, of course. And you know, that's why Pentecost was named after Davidson. I mean, really. That's why we wear red. But here's the great thing about Stephon Curry. Most of all, he is a follower of Jesus Christ. I don't like the point to Jesus, like, you know, I hit the three-pointer. I don't think that's really what he's doing. But he does a lot more than pointing to Jesus. He witnesses of Jesus Christ everywhere he goes. As you may know, he now plays for the Golden State Warriors. And he was named the most valuable player in the NBA after 4 years on May the 4th. 2 days later, he had an interview. In that interview, he never talked about basketball. He talked the whole time about Jesus. I want to share with you what this young man said. I gave my life to Jesus when I was in the fourth grade. Ever since then, my life with Jesus has grown and grown and grown. My faith is a driving force of my life. God has put me in this position as an athlete to reach people for Jesus. I share with my teammates and anyone who will listen to me what Jesus means to me. God's Spirit, he says, is now working in our locker room. 10 of the guys on our team have now given their life to Jesus Christ. They're all with me, a part of a Bible and prayer group. I'm just using this stage to share the blessings of Jesus and how he can be a blessing to others as well. And I want to read to you the closing words of his interview. God has given me talents to play basketball for a living. But I know this is just a game that can be taken away from me at any time. I love that basketball gives me the opportunity to do good things for people and to point them towards Jesus, who died for our sins on the cross. I know I have a place in heaven waiting for me because of him. And that's something no earthly prize or trophy or MVP award can ever top. There's so much more to me, he says, than this jersey. Is Jesus Christ living in here? You see, God has given Stephon Curry a stage. He's given you and I a stage. Where we stay, where we work, and where we play. Where you and I, like Angus and Stephon and 3,000 others, can have a conversation to share how it is that Jesus blesses you, blesses your life, and someday will take you home with him to heaven forever. Then God's Spirit will move us to do what he did on that first Pentecost, which is God's third fuel for fire, which is invite others to give their lives to Jesus and to grow in their faith by being part of his church. Peter began by sharing the good news of Jesus, and when he got their attention, he issued that invitation. Turn to God, be baptized, your sins are forgiven. God will give you his Spirit, and not only for you, but for your children, for your family, and for all people. Not everyone accepted. 3,000 did. But they knew they needed help to grow and to continue growing in their faith, so they joined with the others, becoming the first church of Jesus, learning the word, praying together, enjoying the fellowship, serving and giving to others. I'm going to close this morning with the story of Ken Blanchard that many of you know. Ken wrote a world-famous book called The 1 Minute Manager. It sold a bazillion copies. And what was happening with Ken, it was published in 1982, as Ken's life was going everywhere, but his life was actually going nowhere. Money was filling his bank account, but his life was empty. Until a business associate used where he worked to share the good news of Jesus with Ken. All the ways that Jesus blessed his life, he prayed for Ken, and he prayed with Ken, he shared God's word. And then on that big day, he invited Ken to join him in church. Well, secular Ken went very reluctantly, but he was curious because he had seen what was going on in his business associate's life. What he experienced there was a faithful family filled with love for Jesus, for each other, and for all who brought in their path. Ken reflected later, what they shared was their excitement about Jesus in their lives and how he was blessing their lives and how he could be a blessing to others. They experienced peace in the midst of their busiest of days. I wanted that, he said. I wanted what they had. And I finally accepted Jesus' invitation. Given to me, he said, of all places in our workplace. Ken Blanchard gave his life to Jesus in 1989. His life is now filled with the blessings of Jesus. My life, he says, overflows with joy and the excitement for my new life. So much so that Ken was changed from a secular-focused life to a Jesus-focused life, which resulted in his book called Lead Like Jesus and followed up by a book called Lead Your Family Like Jesus that has blessed millions of lives across the world and lives sitting in this very room today. And offering everyone his tagline, the purpose of my life is to make Jesus smile. And when I make him smile, I'm smiling too. My friends, we have come so far as a church. Think about it. So far in giving our lives to Jesus here. Just look at what is happening in the lives of our children. The lives of our teenagers who testify and often show how they are on fire for Jesus and they are actually sharing it with other people. Come and receive what I have received. Look how Jesus has led so many of us to East Huntersville to give the love of Jesus to people who are so in need of knowing that they are loved. Now, friends, we are just this close of catching fire. Catching fire so that we are so excited that we cannot stay in here. So that where we stay and where we work and where we play, we just have to share the good news of Jesus. Beginning with just a conversation. One person prayed this great prayer. Dear Lord, let the fire of your Spirit melt the lead in my feet and the fear in my heart. And the seal on my lips to share the good news of Jesus and spread the fire. We started this morning with the fact that Jesus is missing in many lives, too many lives. The only way that those lives in this world is going to be changed is if we're willing to let the fire of the Spirit melt the lead in our feet and the fear in our hearts and the seal on our lips to cross the street, cross the room, cross just one little seat over to share the good news, to spread the fire. I don't know if you noticed, but each of the examples this morning was just one person. And Angus Buchan ended up spreading the word of Jesus to thousands. Stephon Curry, to millions. Ken Blanchard, to tens of millions. Maybe one day you're going to have a conversation where you stay or work or play. Before you know it, the fire of the Spirit will spread in ways you never could have imagined, changing the world. This morning, we're not done yet. I want the band to come on up. And we're going to go out and celebrate. And then I'm going to give you an assignment and a tool. I know y'all are excited about that. And shockingly, guess what color it all is? Red. So they're going to sing. We're going to sing with them. And as we go out, we have a special surprise waiting for you out there. And they're going to sing it one more time and come join us. Is that okay, Ina?
Sounds good.
Y'all ready?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's sing.